Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley, and we will be back in a minute or so with Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince to talk about the 104-71 Illini victory over FDU. Hang on, we'll be back.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
And as promised, Kedrick Prince is here. Kedrick, this was a game we saw 104-71. A lot of offensive scoring by the Illini. We know that FDU is not a good team. At the same time, to score 104 points without Terrence Shannon Jr., to me, was a big deal. Even if it wasn't against a Big Ten team, it's got to be a good confidence maker for this Illinois basketball team.
It was, and, you know, it was kind of different, at least for me, you know, watching the game, not seeing him out there, but from a confidence standpoint, we knew somebody's going to step up. I am a Big Ben Danger fan, and, you know, we do these podcasts quite often, Mike. I've been saying his name and saying his name. You know, we can talk about defense and spreading the floor, but there is a huge need for him. He is tough. And in the Big Ten, I mean, he's done this before. I mean, he's just a guy that I think that gives them a different look on offense. And he rebounds. He rebounds really, really well. And now what I really like seeing him do is him passing out of the double team. So he was the guy that I really wanted to see and to do well. But they made a statement. They, you know, I think people are probably going to write them off and think, yeah, you know what, you know, Terrence Shannon is gone and he's not on the team right now. And it does stink. That's a big part to have him not there. But this team is loaded with weapons. And, you know, they're only missing one thing right now. To me, that's just me. And we'll talk about it later, I'm sure. Once they get Marcus Domas hitting threes again, I will still say they're the second best team in the Big Ten without a doubt.
Well, that'll be a good day. I know he struggled a little bit. And even today, you saw Luke Goody, you know, between the two of them, they were 1-for-10. And you almost can bet on any game that they will perform better than that.
Oh, well, yes, because tonight they just didn't fall. And, I mean, we can't hide the elephant in the room. I mean, Marcus Domas has been really struggling from three. But what I like about him, he still continues to shoot them. You got to shoot your way out of it. They're going to need him because there's going to be a game where Quincy's not feeling it. He's not on. And, you know, now all the people out there who really, really criticize Coleman Hawkins, it's good to see him step up because if he can shoot like this, I mean, I'm talking for 80% of the rest of the games. They are a different team. Zach Edey has to guard Coleman Hawkins. Or if he doesn't guard Coleman Hawkins, he has to guard Quincy. Both of those kids can shoot threes. So he is going to cause problems. If he's making shots the way he's been making them the last two games and he's confident, I mean, I still like this team. And they are rallying around with the whole situation. I love seeing that. And, you know, Justin Harmon was just – Justin Harmon, and we talked, you know, on our most recent podcast about him not just being a role player. Look to score. I mean, that's what they brought you in for.
Yep. And you know, he is, that hasn't been something that he's needed to do for the Illini. But, you know, at his prior school, he was a scorer. So this may be actually like him going back to his comfort zone, if I'm not, you know, exaggerating too much.
They were looking for him tonight, and he was looking for his shot. He missed his first three-point attempts, and he kept looking for him. Again, this is the same guy who went on, who had a great run in the NIT tournament last year, who scored over 30 points against Wisconsin in the tournament. This is the guy that's really capable of scoring. So people are asking locally and nationally, where's the scoring going to come from? you saw Dane Danger. Coleman Hawkins is different right now. And you got Justin Harmon, who's playing well. Marcus Domask is still getting his points, you know, but he's getting them in a different way. They still rebound. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the way they go rebound and, you know, Ty Rogers was just a man amongst the boys. I know people were frustrated with some of the turnovers, which I can't believe him being a sophomore in college. Number one rule is you don't hold the ball above your head. I was going to tweet that, but I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm sure he'll be told that. But they are going to be okay. I mean, they may finish third, but this still is a really dangerous tournament team, and they're going to go on the road because they're still veterans, and they're going to go out and they're going to try to, you know, put their foot on the throat of a lot of teams.
Yeah, and I will say the other thing that people don't really think about, but Rogers had 15 rebounds. Guerriere had 11. They out-rebounded FDU 54-27. You don't see a lot of times, no matter how big the split is in teams, you don't see a doubling of rebounding. I thought the other thing was very interesting is on the assist totals, Damask, while he wasn't, you know, shooting as well as he would hope to, 2-for-7 overall, 1-for-6 from the three. But he did end up with 4 rebounds and 11 assists. To me, the biggest thing was he had 4 turnovers, Quincy had 3, and then you had Harmon and Rogers with 2. So there's a little more there. The turnovers were a total of 13. Not egregious, but you would prefer not to have those against a lesser team. There was only one stat that really concerned me today, Ked. You know, they held FDU to 38% shooting. That's obviously excellent.
Right.
Illinois is known as being one of the best teams in the country for running teams off of the three-point line. And without the incredible defense of Terrence Shannon, tonight FDU shot 41%, 41.4. Now, some of that is because Almanora is just good. And he went 4-for-9, but again, that percentage is a little higher than what I'd like to see. But I got to be honest with you, when you look through most of the stats for this evening, I thought the Illini actually put together a really good game, considering that they didn't have a lot of time to prepare for missing what is arguably either the first or second best player in college basketball.
No, they didn't, but we can't pretend that they didn't know this was a possibility because, you know, Josh Whitman did talk about that they'd known this, and, you know, Terrence Shannon Jr. did come to the school, and so they did talk about it. I don't think they felt that he would be no longer part of the team, but the possibility of that happening, you know, was there. But on the flip side of it, Mike, like I said to you, this team has bought in. I can tell you behind closed doors, you know, Brad Underwood, you know, is probably motivating his team and telling them, we're not rolling over, we're not playing dead. Yes, Chance is a big part of our team, but other guys have to step up. And they did. And that's okay because it shows you what kind of coach and what kind of talent that they brought in with this roster.
Yeah. And I don't see for folks who follow us, you know, this Illini team has been put together piece by piece by the coaching staff, and it was meant obviously for Terrence Shannon to be the leader of the team, but they did not get a bunch of beta type of guys. They got guys who want to contribute, who have led teams in the past. Damask was, you know, one of the big men on campus at SIU. Guerriere has been a very good player, you know, at different
stops. He was second team all ACC one year.
Yep, exactly. I was thinking back to the Syracuse more than anything, but a very good player there. You know, you also had Harmon, you know, with his leadership ability. So these guys are not shrinking violets, and I think when you look at, you know, those gentlemen, and then you add in Draven Gibbs, Lawhorn, you know, I think these guys are looking at it. Well, this is an opportunity for me to shine. Not that they have any way that they wanted Terrence Shannon not to be here, whether it's for the rest of the season or even just a few games. But I don't think they fear this. I think they look at this as this is a way for me to prove my value to the coach, to other basketball players, and to the fans out there across the country.
Yes, and you know what I really appreciate to the fans tonight? The applause and the love that they gave Dame Danger, because a lot of us are baffled by why he doesn't play, and he was dominant, and it was nice, even though the Orange Crush was not there. You know, that was huge, because they need that confidence. They need to know, you know, going into this, if they're going to be okay. Here's the deal. What happens if Chance would have gotten foul trouble? You have to learn to play without him anyway. So the only thing, it stinks that I wish they had another couple games to do this, or if they would have played in Missouri without him, you know, just to face a good team. But I'm going to tell you, Mike, you know, FDU, they're not the same team they were last year, but this team was scrappy. They guarded. You talk about, you know, Marcus Dumas turnovers. They put their hands on a lot of balls, and they made it tough to see over the top of that press. So I have to give them a little bit of credit. No, they're not the tallest team in college basketball, but they were scrappy as heck, and they made Illinois work for some of those shots. Some of the threes that they took, they were tough threes. I mean, I was surprised, but I can assure you that it will be addressed. But this team didn't roll over, and this team does have some experience, and, you know, they did beat Purdue last year in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I agree, and I do think that the one thing they did, I thought they were very aggressive on defense, and I thought that FDU was good at trying to hip guys, because when you're not the bigger team, you know, you've got to kind of get into the opponent, and if you use your hands, you're going to get foul calls, which means you got to use your hips. And that was just I thought they did a good job of trying to do everything they could from a inferior position size wise to offset that, and it was just too great in terms of Illinois' size and their athletic ability for FDU to compensate for that.
Yes, and I think the message, you know, most coaches would write something on the board. I think the message today was rebounding. That was nice to see. Because Terrence Shannon, I believe he had 11 rebounds against Missouri. That you can't miss. You still have to go over. You still have to go get rebounds. And I don't know if a lot of people realize just listening to his podcast, but as good as Terrence Shannon is as a rebounder, and Colton Hawkins, the best rebounder or leading rebounder on the team is Quincy. So that, I think, is another part that they have to shore up. Taking care of the ball, I do think, you know, Brad said that they punish teams when they press. I still see teams trying to do that against them. And until they figure out how to not hold the ball over their head, I mean, because once they got across half court, I think they were very, very efficient. But you can't have those lapses. You just cannot. I believe at one point there was four or five turnovers, six turnovers in a row.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, when you go on the road to Mackey Arena, or even when you play Northwestern, because this isn't the Northwestern team that stunk. They're going to play, and I'm going to tell you, you know, you're going to be missing Terrence Shannon to guard, because Northwestern can put them in the basket. If you allow them to get going, this is going to be a tough game. It won't be easy.
Yeah, I don't know that they would have been an easy game, you know, even with Terrence Shannon, because Northwestern doesn't like Illinois. They get pumped up to play him. And they play Illinois tough even when you don't expect that they will. So I think that game's going to be a nip and tuck game. But like you said, if some inopportune turnovers from the Illini could result in a result that wouldn't be in Illinois' favor and could even be wider than what we think, you're right. You can't let that team get any oxygen. It's kind of like a fire. If you give it a little bit of air, you never know what you're going to deal with. So any other thoughts, Ked, as we kind of, you know, wrap up this game? Anything that came to you as you were watching the game, or any other thoughts?
Yeah, this is from a sentimental standpoint for me, you know, and I know the rules. I understand the law. I just really feel bad for the situation for the female involved in Terrence Shannon Jr. It stinks that he at least can't be on the bench, at least be in the arena. I feel bad because this kid has put a lot of time in, and we've all heard how hard he's worked, and he's told us how hard he's worked, and it's just a really, really tough situation, you know, all around, and I feel bad. But just watching the game tonight, I've had a lot of people text me and send me messages. it's just different, you know. And the one cliche I'm sure every fan has seen somewhere, Illinois just can't have nice things. They seem to think so, you know, but you got to win. Now it's Big Ten play. You know, I think the coaches were really involved tonight, Mike. They were really active, talking to players. You know, you could hear them yelling out things that FDU was doing defensively. So they're all going to have to step their game up, from the coaching staff to all the players to the guys that need to be leaders. I don't know who's going to be that guy, that alpha. I mean, there's tons of guys on the court. And if I had to pick one guy, though, in closing, and a lot of people might not agree with this, I would think the alpha will be Marcus Domas. The reason I like him, and he's not shooting it well, the kid doesn't get sped up. He displays his game. He doesn't panic. He doesn't get rattled. And the teammates, they really like him. You can see on the bench during the games. So if they're going to be looking for a leader on the court, I think if it was my pick, it'd be Marcus Domas.
Perfect. Well, I tell you what, I think it was very encouraging what we saw this evening. Obviously, the step up comes with Northwestern, and Boo Booey is going to do his best to make it hell for the Illini Tuesday night. And it's not going to be easy, but I think it will be a good measuring stick to see what this Illini team is able to do. And you can't minimize what Northwestern brings to the table. And I'm very hopeful that the Illini will be able to withstand that. But folks, this is the now into the Big Ten, and even Purdue has already found out that you can't count on, you know, just showing up and winning. So it is going to be a challenge for the Fighting Illini. That game, of course, is Tuesday night. It's in the State Farm Center. For those of you who cannot attend, it will be on the Big Ten Network at 8 p.m. Central. So we look forward to seeing that. Ked, thanks so much for being with us tonight. And folks, we will be back in just a minute with Brad Sturdy.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
And we are back, folks, as promised. This is Mike Kegley. Now, that's a promise nobody really cares about, but we have Brad Sturdy here, and we are going to start off, before we talk about the game, and I don't know the answer to this, folks, but there's something that's been kind of bothering Brad, and he wants to talk about that before we jump into it. Mr. Sturdy, what do you have that's bothering you?
So, Mike, here's the thing. I was talking, I asked this question to both Josh Whitman and Brad Underwood tonight about how they support, you know, the student athlete. You know, Brad said he was going to keep that between him and Tara. Josh said, you know, a fine line supporting the athlete and all that stuff. The one thing I'd say, I've never understood this. Illinois, on every hashtag, what is their hashtag, Mike, on everything they do?
Family.
Family. So at which point, when your family is going through a rough time, do you suspend them from any family activities?
Yeah, that's
from all family activities.
Yeah, no, I get it. And unfortunately,
so basically isolate someone who is going through a difficult time. Now, I'm not saying you should play. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But the removal from all team activities just really bothers me as a punishment. Because I think that then you're putting it, you know, you're giving someone, they're twofold. You're basically taking away all the structure in their life. And I don't think that's a good thing for young people. We, you know, we talk about mental health. We talk about all these things. So I think it's something they really need to revisit in the policy, because it doesn't jive with what we're selling when we talk on the hashtags online. So I just wanted to get that out. So.
Yeah, and I do think that, and I'm going to make we don't talk, you know, politics, and this isn't politics per se, but I do think there is there's basically politically, there's a lot of people that get upset, and you have to make sure that you try not to make the situation worse for both yourself and for in this case Terrence Shannon Jr. by making him a target for other groups more than what is going on. And I'm not saying that's the right answer. I do think that in this time, I think this is a great time to take a look at that policy and try to calibrate it for the world we live in, which means you're going to be walking a tightrope, but that doesn't mean that there's not a balance that you can come to. And I think that's a good point to bring up.
Yeah. And again, I'm not against him. I feel like this was you had to suspend him pending what happens next. But at the same time, I also feel like there was another, you know, there's more to this than just like, you know, suspension from team activities, whatever. I mean, I think that there's a better way to maybe handle this. And I'm not, so maybe it's tweak the policy. Now we've seen something and maybe this doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
We certainly wouldn't do that with, you wouldn't do that with your son, with your brother, with your father, your whoever, you know, so.
Well, and one of the things that we need to think about, and I think this is something that really is kind of a talking point for some schools, but not necessarily something that they do. And I don't think Illinois typically falls into this class, but we talk about leadership and understanding how to grow, become a man or a woman, and be better equipped for success later in life. And, you know, I was just reading Nick Saban talks about how, you know, you get better by going through hard times. Now, I'm not saying you want to go through, that's not the point, but you know, coming through something and learning lessons that will help you be make better decisions and be better equipped in the future and be better equipped to help other people in those situations is a component that is very often forgotten, because you have to have appearances for groups that are just waiting to protest or to you know, cause an issue. And so I do think there is a balance that has to be met there. And that's so tough to get that 100% right. But this gives them an opportunity to evaluate that and make a decision. I'm not telling people what to do or whatever, but I do think that's fair to ask them to reevaluate it and take a look at it. So let's move on, because that was a great point. Let's move on to this game tonight. We have a 104-71 victory for the Illini. The Illini's offense was really good. Their defense overall was pretty good. They gave up a little bit more from the three-point line than we're accustomed to seeing. FDU is not a great team, but I think they're probably better than their record, and I think their effort level was a real tribute to the coach, because even when they were down by 30 points, they were playing hard. What jumped out at you at this game?
Well, I think the offensive aggressiveness of guys, you know, whether it's Ty Rogers getting the basket, whether it's, you know, Justin Harmon coming in and not hesitating when he shot jumpers, Coleman Hawkins shooting, you know, and Coleman, when Coleman takes good shots, he's a good shooter. The problem he has, sometimes he takes some wild shots. But when he's taking good shots, he's a good shooter. So you put all that together and you see a more aggressive offense. Ball moved pretty well. I thought they were stagnant early in the game. There were some moments when they weren't maybe moving the ball like in the middle of the first half. But after that, I mean, this team just looked really good. And you start to see how these pieces fit. You started to see, you know, how they're going to use Ty Rogers against smaller point guard, how they're going to use Marcus Damask against in the post to find guys. You know, and Hawkins is going to, you know, post if he gets a small guy on him, but most of the time he's going to be a face-up guy as a five man. So you start to see how this all fits together without Terrence Shannon in it, and you can see what they can do. There's still a lot of things they can do offensively. They're still going to find a way to score. It's just a matter now of, you know, making the right decision. I think the one concern I had tonight was the 11 turnovers in the first half.
Yep.
Many of those just kind of, you know, a soft pass that got tipped, you know, things like that. overall, I really thought they, you know, they finished with 13 turnovers, which is not ideal, but only two in the second half, which is why they scored at a really high level in the second half. I think it was like 1.7 points per possession in the second half, which is pretty amazing. And if you look at it, they have, for the game, they scored 1.8 points per possession when they didn't turn it over. So they were pretty effective when they didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and I do think that was it was also a spate of really rough time, you know, where it kind of like got became a big back and forth, you know, where it kind of caught up in its own cycle with those turnovers. At the same time, I thought it was interesting, you know, that the team played fairly well if you take that little piece of time out. What did you think in terms of the effect that Dane Danger had on the game? Because, boy, he really was effective on the inside. And I know that at times his defense can be a little bit challenging. But, boy, offensively, man, he was almost unstoppable tonight.
Oh, Dane was great tonight. This is, he feasts on guys that are smaller than him, where he can, you know, get at, you know, he can use his size and strength to bully ball a little bit around the rim and use those kind of. He's got some good moves too. Don't make no mistake. But I will go back to your point about defense. I saw the most defensive effort I've seen out of Dane Danger the entire season. Good. I thought he knew. They told him before the game that we got to lock in, we got to prevent these, you know, because they're small and they're going to space the floor. And he did a really nice job of getting out on the perimeter, guarding guys, being in a defensive stance. Now, do I think it hurts him a little bit in protecting the rim, things like that? Yeah, but they're not going to play a team that does that small ever again. I mean, right. Maybe in the NCAA tournament, you know, in the first round of the NCAA tournament, if they get there, you know, depending on their who they play, but I think that he was really good at defensively, and he had awareness too, which is something he usually struggles with. Now, will he be able to defend Boo Booey in a ball screen? You know, how does that work? I don't know. That's obviously the future, but right now I gotta feel pretty positive about where they're at with him. You know, coming off of games where he didn't get a lot of minutes because he was struggling defensively. So this is a great effort from him. They went a little deeper in their bench, got production, and I think that's really important moving forward.
Yeah, if I would have told you that Illinois was going to score 100 points and Luke Goody and Marcus Domask would be 1-for-10 together from the three-point line, would you have thought 104 points was possible?
Probably not. I think that, you know, that's one thing, like, you know, I wrote in the pregame, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson gives up a lot of threes. But they don't rebound well. So you're going to get threes and putbacks. I mean, a lot of threes, a lot of putbacks, and you saw Illinois get that. And so I didn't think they'd score that many without getting those threes to go. But, you know, they get good shooting from Colin Hawkins and obviously Justin Harmon. So really, really good offensive performance for Illinois on the evening. And, you know, I thought, you know, first half defense was pretty good. Second half was a little bit lack. I thought it, you know, especially when they start subbing and start moving guys around and losing a little bit of focus.
Right. I think that's fair. Looking at some of the performances, I will say a couple things and let you respond to them. First off, Coleman Hawkins, apparently that knee was causing him problems, because his play since returning from the knee injury has been stellar, really kind of elevated, you know, and I'm not saying that the knee helps his shot selection, but boy, he has a lot more confidence. And when he has that good look, it seems to go down a little, you know, the way it's supposed to. The other thing is, you know, Harmon was the, you know, leading scorer for his team and had a nice NIT run last year. It seems like when they looked to him to score a little bit today, that role seemed like it was a familiar role that he was comfortable in.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think on both counts. One thing about Coleman, he's got a very repeatable stroke when he's set to catch and shoot.
Yep.
I think when he gets in trouble, although he gets the step back occasionally, it's like that's not what you want him doing. I want him pick and pop five, get those shots, or if they you know, chase that out if he's got the drive and the kick or he's got a pass, you know, extra pass, things like that, because he has such good vision. And then with when it comes to Harmon, he is wired to score a little bit. But what I like about Harmon is they know that over the last 36 hours with Terrence Shannon up, they said, look, somebody's got to step up and score more points. And he took it. Now, earlier in the year, it was defense and rebounding doing that against Kansas. Remember, at the end of the game,
yep.
Just did the little thing, get a loose ball, get a steal, whatever it is. So this is a kid that just wants to win, and I think that's a really important factor here when you think about it. That's the kind of guy you want, so that he can slot into this role. But, you know, when we need this role, he can slot into that role, too, a little bit. And I'm not saying he's Terrence Shannon, because
right.
Well, he's not, because Terrence is the second best player in the country. Maybe probably the best guard. So it's a different thing. But, yeah, I really feel good about where he's at.
Yeah, that I thought that was really good. One of the things that Ked brought up was Marcus Domast struggling from the three, but Ked was happy that he was continuing to shoot the three-point shot, because with a good shooter, it will fall. How do you think he's doing? And you know, hopefully we'll get this this little rough patch behind us.
Well, he had 11 assists. I think that's good. Yep. It's the first time. I don't even know. They said the last time somebody had 10-plus assists was Colin Hawkins. I don't remember when somebody had 11. If you go back, I would guess. But it was a really good performance today. Really found guys, did a really nice job passing out the post, you know, could drive and kick even. I thought he was really good. He's not making shots, but the one he finally made, it was the end of the shot clock, he just picked it up and shot it.
Didn't think about it.
I think that it's so mental right now, and he's almost like lining it up that he's afraid to miss.
Yeah.
So everybody, if you're a shooter, everybody's been in a situation where you're like trying, you almost shoot not to miss.
Yeah.
As opposed to just making it. I know when I played, there were games when I could have not seen the basket and I could just throw it at the rim and it would go in. I mean, right. You know, just one of those, you just have those moments. Then there are days you miss a couple and you start thinking, okay, I was short, so I'm going to be long. I'm going to be a little longer this time, and then you hit the back iron after the front iron, and then so forth. And you get in these funks, and you start thinking, and you just got to keep shooting. When you're a shooter, you keep shooting. Like, I don't want Ty Rogers, if he misses 12 threes in a row, I don't want him to keep shooting. He hasn't made one in his college career. And the only one he shot up was an air ball. So I don't want him shooting threes. But I'll tell you what I do. I want Marcus Draft, a career 36% three-point shooter coming in the season, to continue to shoot open threes. And, you know, so I think too much is, you know, remember when Tyler Griffey, who had shot like 40% for 3 1 year, comes out and misses like, I don't know, he's like 1 for 27 in a stretch. I mean,
yeah,
it happens. You go in shooting slumps, hitting slumps, whatever, and that's just part of basketball. And so he's just going to play through it. But I like that he's doing other things. He's been, last game was 10-7-7. This game, what was it, 10-11-4 or something like that? I mean, I don't think you can complain about that too much.
No, and maybe, you know, you can set him up with Mark Grace and he can talk about how to get out of those slumps.
Slump buster. I don't know if we're going to go there right now.
I will, no matter what happens with Mark Grace, because I always liked him as a player, but that whole comment, it just makes me laugh. And I'll never, the last memory I'll have before Alzheimer takes it all will be that quote. the other thing I feel obligated to bring up is Gibbs LaHorn, a couple shots that were interesting. I think we're always going to have interesting shots, but a really nice, turnaround that he had. But he's got the shots falling now. And I will say one thing that I love about him is he does not lack for confidence no matter what's going on. And as he gets more experience under his belt, I thought that he started off for a few minutes really looking, you know, not to push the envelope so much. And I think that's maybe why he got as many minutes as he did.
Yeah, I think he did. I think the one thing he tries to do, he's learning how to play, because his way to play throughout his entire career has been just go out and score the basketball. Right? Yep. I mean, go. If you just shoot it, drive it, kick it, whatever, just play and score. Well, now you're playing within a team system and you're going to get limited number of shots. He's a volume, he's been a volume scorer his whole life. So now he's not going to get as many shots, you know, 2 or 3 minutes here. You got to learn how to play in that system. And that's where he's going to get, he'll get better. You know, he's just, I don't, but it's been over many, many years. We look back over the history of college basketball. Freshmen struggle.
Yep.
Some really good freshmen have come in and been really bad in college basketball and then got better. And that happens. I think that's going to happen with him as he figures out the game, slows down for him. Like, I was just watching, I'll give you the best example. When he was posting up and he hit that turnaround, you watch Marcus post guys up, and it's like a slow bounce, and he just moves them all. Draymond was just pounding that thing 500 times. Looked like he was a Harlem Globetrotter Curly Neal dribbling out there in the post up. Because he's going everything fast. And so the game will slow down as he gets experience, as he gets older. He's going to be he's really talented, going to be a really good player. I just think you have to be patient with it. But the one thing he can do is if the offense is struggling, you can put him in there. They're struggling against a team that's grinding out, Michigan State, Purdue, and they can't get a shot, you know, a clean shot. That dude's going to get a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, he can get a shot up virtually at any time. And without Terrence Shannon, you don't really have a guy who's just a guy who can get a shot up at the end of shot clock every time. And I think Draymond Gibbs-Lauren can be that guy. And so there could be he's just got to stay patient, keep an open, you know, positive mind, and then, take advantage when he gets the opportunity.
Totally agree. Any other Illini thoughts on this game, Brad?
Well, I thought it was really important. You know, I should have asked Underwood post game, but we were kind of talking all about the Shannon stuff. But Nico Moretti's not in a walking boot anymore. He was in two pairs of tennis shoes. How about that?
Yeah.
Two tennis shoes, and which is really good to see. He didn't have a limp. He's just moving around, which probably indicates that the bone scan showed that he was clear. Now, that doesn't mean he's clear to play yet, but it's on the process. And he could, you know, with Terrence Shannon out, there's a kid who can create, too, at the end of a shot clock and make a play off a ball screen and make good reads and things like that. So that's where, you know, maybe he's a guy, you know, who can step up and bring you, you know, not maybe 30 minutes a game, but he can give you 8 to 10 minutes to help you kind of spell the guys out of the floor, help you when you're seeing pressure like they saw tonight.
Yeah, no, that's great. I do have one non-Illini thought I wanted to get your opinion on. But did you happen to hear that Ohio State lost 14-3? Apparently, they were doing a tribute to Brian Ferentz offensively, and I didn't know.
Could be. It very well could be. I think that's what they did. Well, Ohio State, did they have any players left, or they all opted out?
Well, the funny thing is their start, you know, their quarterback went down, and then they were playing the freshman who hasn't ever played before, and you know, things just got bad. So you feel sorry, because of course you can imagine the internet is going crazy on next year is going to be horrible, and everything. Yes, exactly. And while I think there's some questions about Ryan Day, because unfortunately he's never had to fight through any struggles, because he started off, you know, at the you know, arguably one of the two best jobs in college football. That was his first head coaching job. So I think there's some people who are going to question, can he get them out of this funk? But I'm not certain that I'm pulling the ripcord in the escape thing with what he's done. But
no, I mean, when you're going to have a rough year and go 11-2, I think you're okay.
I know, and you have to have an apology to the fans. You know, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. But
crazy. But here's the other thing. The other thing I'll say about that is it looked to me like I saw some of the end. Ohio State felt bad because they had played 11-10 against Notre Dame. So they tried playing 10-11 tonight against Missouri, it looked like, on offense.
And well, the other thing I saw is Dabo won his ninth game in, like, I don't know, 11 years, 12 years, and it's like in the top five for consecutive years of nine or more victories. And you got to wonder if Tyler from Spartanburg is the real MVP of the Clemson season, because ever since he called up Dabo. Yeah. So basically there's help from Craig from Monticello or somebody to call in Coach Underwood.
Jim from Rockford.
Change history.
Yeah, they have a But hey, the other thing was, that was interesting. They posted, I saw this on Twitter. They had donated $1,000 to the local teachers union or something like that for every touchdown scored in the Cotton Bowl. I'm sure they were hoping that there would be more. And it was going to the fourth quarter, but zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God for Missouri, because it was 14-3. So
they got two. Pretty funny.
You know, the nightmare is seeing Missouri so darn good. And who thought Eli would be this coach? I mean, you hire a guy that most people are like, yeah, okay, whatever. And he's turning into just a phenomenal coach, not just from the ability to recruit, but the ability to get W's. This guy is, it's a nightmare to see him right across the state line.
Yeah, it is. It really is. He's done a great job there. I mean, really has. Boy, that Missouri series is looking ominous moving forward, isn't it?
It is, but we'll have to see. Maybe, you know, Bielma gets that offensive line the way he wants to by then. Maybe that'll be the equalizer. Yeah. But
I will say this. They've got a pretty good, you know, with their offensive line and the guys they brought in, they got, you know, young guys in the offensive line developing. You know, the next couple of years, they could really have a veteran offensive line. You know, maybe you got your quarterback, you've got, if Caden Fagan can become that star running back, which you think he could be, and also the Julio Valentine, you know, whatever, you could have a chance where you could be really good offensively, really control the clock, really do some good things, and then, you know, then it makes it where you can compete with teams like Missouri.
Right, right. Well, and that's why I don't get too concerned, you know, right now, because I think he is building that offensive line. And again, I go back to, you know, putting guys in the NFL, and only Nick Saban has put more offensive linemen in the NFL and than Brett Bielema. And we know Nick Saban's doing it, like when he's scraping the bottom of the barrel, it's a 4-star. And
exactly.
And Brett Bielema's, you know, doing it with you know, 2 and 3 stars with an occasional 4. So I do have confidence that it's going to get better, but I do think that with Missouri looming, it needs to get better quickly.
Real quick. Yep.
Any other thoughts now that I've ambushed you with things you weren't prepared at all to talk about?
No, it's fun. I would say this. I think, you know, the big thing is be patient with this team. I think they're going to have to change some of the things they do. I think you saw them run second half. I actually saw this. They ran a couple new sets to fit the guys that they have. And you see this happening, and this is what they're going to do. They're going to do more. They had played basically 5-out actions, and you always know you got that guy and get downhill. Don't have him anymore. So going to see more sets, more opportunities to put guys in places where they fit. And I think that's going to be the big thing moving forward. But patient, I really think that, you know, if they can do a good job to get the win against Northwestern, as they go to Purdue, they're going to keep getting – this team's going to keep getting better. And, you know, if we're saying that off of a big 33-point win, right? So this is a team that's going to keep getting better, and they're going to – you know, this is just – they're going to grind through this, see what happens down the road if they – And maybe you develop even more depth and you find guys get a little more confident. And then what happens if somehow, you know, you do get a Terrence Shannon back at the end? That's a pretty good free agent pickup at the trade deadline, right?
Yeah, well, that's how I look at it is if, you know, if you want to have the orange and blue sunglasses on, that this situation will somehow get resolved in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then Terrence Shannon will come back and his legs will be all refreshed and with a little bit of a vacation, and the Illini, the rest of the Illini will have evolved a little bit. And now the team is even better than when he was here. So yes, I know that's the orange and blue sunglasses, but let's hope that maybe it goes in that direction, which we all know historically rarely happens for the Illini, but you know, we will give it the positive spin, at least the one alternative. Brad, anything else before we close it down?
No. Happy New Year to everyone.
Yes. Happy New Year to everybody. This is Mike Kegley saying, you know, thanks so much to Brad for hitting us in the car, and Ked for making time in the evening to talk about this. And of course, we will be the place to be. If you really want to know what's going on and you want to see and read about the situation, you need to be at IlliniGuys.com. $99 for a year. You get to kick the tires for 7 days. When you subscribe, you know, obviously you can see the stories on the front page. Anybody can do that. And some of them are locked. And when you're a member, you'll get them, you'll get everything. But I will say that there's also, when you see the word message boards, you go back there. It's either football, basketball, or other sports. But if you go back there and you get an opportunity to read what's going on, and sometimes there's rumors that you can't source. And that's where we talk about some things like that. And it really, 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 really is important to have people like Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince, who are very tight with the program, that can talk about some of these things and put some of the insane rumors to bed and you know, can help us kind of figure out what's going on behind the scenes. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of recruiting. Brad was out this week. I was out this week down in Dallas. So we'll give you some stories on some people that Illinois is looking at. So you'll get all the inside scoop. And, of course, we have Matt and Ked who work on the football side. Ked actually does all recruiting. So there's going to be a lot of football, a lot of basketball, a lot of things to read about. If you want to be a IlliniGuys.com subscriber, right now would be the perfect time to jump on board. With that, we will be right back after these messages.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcast, starting with our signature Eye on the Illini series, which discusses recent Illini events. Sturdy for 30 is where veteran Illini insider and analyst Brad Sturdy talks with experts and people in the know. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where IlliniGuys.com director of recruiting Kedrick Prince talks with players, parents, and coaches about the next wave of Illini student athletes. Stay in the know with Illini Guys podcast. Find them wherever you download your podcasts.
And a big thanks to Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for coming by here on Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley, and we will be back to talk about Northwestern on Tuesday night. Go Illini!